The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
We're in Luke chapter 22, and we'll be picking up in verse 21. This is the reading of God's word. "But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. This is the reading of God's word. Please have a seat. Let's begin in prayer. Our Lord, we thank you for being the God who holds his people fast. We thank you for the incredible hope of knowing that it is you who is faithful and your faithfulness that matters most. We pray that in this hour that you would be glorified, that your people would see you and your faithfulness for what they really are. Please open your word to us. By your Holy Spirit, drive it home. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're coming out of this section of the institution of the Lord's Supper. And in the supper, there's been this hanging, ominous note. And it's that Judas is around. Judas, famous Judas, infamous Judas. And from an earthly point of view, it's not hard to look at this and think that it looks like God's plans are in peril. Our plans would be in peril. If the core group was infiltrated, if there was a mole in the inner circle and he was looking to betray the general or whatever it is, that is a failed plan from our perspective. It seems like Jesus' plans are on the brink of failure. But what we see in this passage as we round out the institution of the supper is that Jesus is sovereign even over betrayal. Jesus is sovereign even over betrayal. We see here Judas's plan. It's not a surprise. Never has been. Judas knows who's sitting at the table with him. Or Jesus knows that Judas is sitting at the table with him. He knows who this man is. He knows what this man is up to. There is no surprise. And what he can actually say, what Jesus can say, is that the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. Son of Man. That title has always been this echo reminding us of the incredible majesty of Jesus. The incredible power of Jesus. The Son of Man is not overcome by anyone. The Son of Man is not thwarted by anyone. And the Son of Man is going to go as it has been determined. Determined by who? Determined by God. Determined by God. This plan has always been in God's control. This is a theme that spreads itself out across the proclamation of the gospel, that God is in complete control. No matter how it looks, he's in complete control. Peter will say in his first sermon, if you'll allow me to retranslate the Greek, it was God's determined plan that Jesus would be crucified. Paul, he would preach that Jesus is the man determined, that has been determined to judge the whole world. No one's plans have ever happened to Jesus. Do you get my feel there? No one's plans have ever prevailed upon Jesus. Jesus is never sitting there thinking, "I was trying to accomplish this, but man, that was a good move." No one's plans ever just happened to Jesus. No, Jesus' life is a continual act of fulfillment. A fulfillment not of men's plans, but of God's plans. The plans that have been determined. The plans that would not be thwarted. And we find here that Jesus is sovereign even over the nearest and dearest and most intimate act of betrayal that could have been imagined. One of the 12 rising up against his master. No, he's not surprised. He's sovereign even over betrayal. But just because Jesus is not surprised does not take away from the fearful nature of this betrayal. This is a fearful sin that Judas is committing. Jesus can say, yeah, this is all going according to plan, but woe to that man who is betraying me. Woe to that man. We haven't done a lot with woes since about chapter 6. But by way of reminder, I just want you to know that a woe from Jesus, it's not like an old curse word. He's not seething at him. A woe is not a threat. It's a warning. And it's a warning that still has bound up in it regret, compassion, that these things would be so. He's trying to say, look at the route you're going on. Woe to you for the route you are going on. This is going to be so bad for you. Betraying the Son of God, yes, it was according to plan, but oh, betraying the Son of God to his torture and death? It is a heinous sin that Judas is committing. And Jesus is saying, and he's going to answer for it. He is going to answer for it. Telling us something about the hearts of the disciples. They all look around and they're afraid. They're hearing their master talk like this and they're wondering, is it me? Is it me? The disciples, they're not known for being quick, right? And they've been slowly, slowly building to the thought that Jesus has just reiterated here. But you have to picture something in them is the flags are just going up and they're thinking, wait a minute. He's talking about being betrayed. He's talking about going somewhere. The Son of Man is pronouncing woe on whoever is committing this betrayal. And they're afraid that he might be talking about them. Each one of them is afraid that he might be the betrayer. And for guys who have not been quick, a lot of the Gospels, this is a mark of wisdom. This is a mark of wisdom. They look at themselves and wonder, could I do that? Paul would later go on and famously say, therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. They're willing to say, am I able to do this horrible thing that he's describing? Is this me? Is this going to be me? The wisdom I want you to see here, just in passing, because this isn't the main point, but never rule yourself out. Never rule yourself out for any given sin. We look at ourselves and we say, Judas, I cannot believe that guy. We look at sinners and we think we're different from them. We're not so different. Every one of you is capable of this kind of betrayal. There is no sin that's outside your reach if you are to go your own way. Have that resolve set deep in your hearts. Don't look at other sinners like they're different from you. They may be in a different place from you. But the seeds are present in your heart. Never presume that it couldn't be you. That's maybe the greatest mistake we could make. And although Judas is the focus here, the other disciples are not that different, you know. They're just not. They would betray him as well. They too would betray the Savior. When he gets arrested, where do they go? Away. Anywhere that's not next to Jesus. Do you think that would count as betrayal? In this same chapter, we're going to come on Peter's famous denial of the Lord. Is that not betrayal. The disciples are not inexperienced when it comes to betraying their Savior. You say, okay, well, they're young in the faith. I'm sure later it was totally a different story, right? Well, then you read the book of Galatians. I just want you to imagine, you remember the Galatian controversy between Peter and Paul. Peter, by his behavior, is contributing to this heresy that is separating out the church, that is this wedge in the church. Like the chief apostle, 20 years later, is contributing to a heretical movement. Does that count as betrayal? It does. And I would hold out to you the betrayal that comes 20 years later with all that maturity, with all that he's learned, with all that he's grown in. I would hold out to you, I think that betrayal is probably worse than when he denies him in a moment of fear. The betrayals that we commit in knowledge and in maturity, they're worse than the ones we commit in immaturity and ignorance. The disciples are not altogether different from Judas. Judas committed this heinous sin. It is his sin. But the other disciples, they're not all that different. But here's the good news. Jesus died to save people who would betray him. Jesus saves people who betray him. Jesus died for those other 11, knowing what they were going to do. Just as he knew Judas was at the table and what he was going to do, he knew what the 11 were like. He knew what the 11 were going to do. And he gave them this supper that we get to celebrate today to say, look at what I did to save you. He gave it to people that he knew were going to betray him in a matter of hours. He gave them that work so that they could look at it and say, look at this is what Jesus died for. This is what he did to make sure that I would be saved. This is what he did to buy me. He gave that to people he knew would betray them. The hope for their salvation, for the salvation of the 11, it was never how great of people they were. It was never because God said, look at, I can see in your heart and you've got amazing character. You will stand strong. No. The hope of their salvation was never how great of people they were. The hope of their salvation was never that they were going to succeed. The hope of their salvation always rested in his faithfulness. He held them fast. He intended to hold them fast. That was their security. And his death on the cross, when that precious blood was spilled, it was enough even for betrayal. And that's good news for us today, isn't it, saints? That's good news we need to hear today. We too have betrayed the Son of Man. Not like once. We do it all the time. We too have betrayed our Lord. We too have known what the right thing was. We stood there on the brink and we looked and we said, I know that's the right path. And then we went the wrong way. We know what it is to sin in knowledge. We're ambassadors of the king. He sends us forward representing him like royal representatives going to the world saying, be reconciled to him. Here we are, ambassadors that look a lot like the world. We're supposed to be the emissaries of his kingdom. Here we are blending right in. It's been us who took a second look. It's been us who had another drink. It's been us who kept the conversation going when we know it should have stopped. It's been us in every single way. We are not so different from Judas. We too betray, and we betray all the time. And then this mountain of guilt piles up on us. This mountain of sorrow, because we feel how dear that sin was. We feel that it was worse. We feel how wrong it was that we, with all our privileges, with all the grace that's been showered upon us, that we committed that sin. And it is crippling. That guilt is crippling. It wrenches our hearts. It racks our hearts. We can't get away from it. And we just feel maybe we went too far. Because we can't even say it was one betrayal. It was repeated betrayals. And we look at ourselves in that sin, in that plight once more, and we wonder, did I go too far? There's a beautiful hope for you, child of God. Come back. Just come back. We call that repentance. Repentance has gotten just a totally inaccurate definition. We think of repentance as that act in which we feel bad. And so when we've committed a sin, it will only make it worse, we think, to repent. And sometimes we're just thinking, I just don't have it in me to repent again. It just hurts too much. It makes me feel too low. It's your sin that's doing that. Your sin is why you are suffering. Your sin is the sorrow dragging you down. Your sin is that provocation on your heart that makes you feel the guilt. Repentance is when you decide to leave that sin behind. Repentance is when you turn from that sin and sorrow and you come back to the Lord. Sin is the curse. Repentance is the blessing. Repentance is not what makes you feel bad. Repentance is the only place that there is healing and the only place that there is life. In repentance, you get to trade your sin for forgiveness. In repentance, you get to trade your alienation for reconciliation. In repentance, you get to trade away that death and you get to take hold of life. In repentance, you trade away your sorrow and you get to have peace. Repentance is the blessing. If you look at those 12 disciples, by the way, that's the big thing that really sets Judas apart, isn't it? He had no room for repentance. He felt bad. He felt guilty. But where the other disciples eventually come back, he goes his own way and ends his life without ever repenting. Christian, Jesus died even for our betrayals. Jesus died especially for our betrayals. Like he knew the 12, he knows you. He knows the bargain he got. He knows your heart. He knows your history. He knows your actions. He knew them all when he was willing to die for you. He knew you would betray him, and yet he still died for you. For you. Our betrayals, they're wicked. They're terrible. They are sinful. We will never just push them to the side as if they don't matter, because they do. But child of God, God's faithfulness is greater than your faithlessness. And God has a long and glorious history of seeking and saving the lost. In sovereign knowledge, he knew the people he was dealing with. You thought your betrayal was a surprise. He didn't. He was prepared for your betrayal. In incredible mercy and grace, he stands at the ready even while you're hammering the spikes back into him to forgive you, to show you mercy, to heal you, to make you whole, to heal you from the self-inflicted wounds you're causing. And in faithful love, he doesn't give up. I couldn't put up with a person like me. I could not endure being a savior to a person like me. Our God and his faithful love endures. He perseveres. Child of God, when you fall, when you betray him, come back. Come back. He stands ready to forgive you. The supper reminds us he stands ready to forgive you. The work that he did for you, the price that he paid for you, it was enough. And he is ready to be reconciled. Child of God, never have a doubt in your mind, no matter how egregious your sin is. His grace is greater than your sin. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you for grace, abundant grace, sufficient grace, even for our wickedness. Lord, give us the assurance of your salvation, especially for the downtrodden today, for the guilty today. We pray that they would look on your gospel, that they would look on your table and see a price paid that is far greater than any sin they've committed. We pray that your people would have the confidence and the joy of a Savior who died even for those who would betray him. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com.